Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Uncle Phil's podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Phil, and with me again today is Joe DeMonio. What are you doing, Joey?
Hey, Phil, nice to be here again. 2 days in the two of the last 3 days. Great.
I love it. We're getting some regularity here. You know, it's hard for me to get these other co-hosts to show up. You know, Squid tells Paul that COVID runs rampant in his house and he's nuts. And Paul, you know, Paul doesn't want to, you know, face off against me. You know, that's what happens. He becomes a little bit like, you know, intimidated and stays and uses that as an excuse not to come over. And, it is what it is. You know, I'm dying to get Paul on. And basically, I know Paul's going to want to talk about something that that we don't agree on, right? Unfortunately, we had the passing of Pete Rose. And, I'm not a big believer that Pete belongs in the Hall of Fame. He broke the rules of baseball. When you walk right on the clubhouse, it says do not bet on baseball, right? And he broke the rules. He lied about it. He's not really a good person. If you watch the Life Story on HBO, you'll see that he's not really a good person. There were rumors that he was involved with drug trafficking. There were underage girls. There's a lot of rumors about him. I don't know what's true, what's not true. But he broke the rules of baseball. Shoeless Joe Jackson received a check from the mob, never cashed the check, was banned from baseball. If you look at his stats in the World Series, he was phenomenal. But they said, you're involved with betting on baseball, you can't be inducted into the Hall of Fame and you're suspended for life. That's the way it is. I'm sorry. I know the Pete Rose fans love Pete Rose. Great ball player. Absolutely a beast running the bases. I mean, he destroyed Ray Fosse's career. I don't like him for, you know, picking on Bud Harrelson. You know, that's another thing, but that's besides the point. I don't know your opinion. I just know that I can't wait to get into it with Paul when he finally has the nerve to show up.
Well, I mean, Charlie Hustle was a great player. I do believe he belongs in the Hall of Fame. I think you put him in. I think you put an asterisk next to his name and say that he bet on baseball when he was a player manager with the Cincinnati Reds. You know, the guy was the all-time hits leader, always hustling, always playing hard, playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. You don't see that anymore anywhere in the game. And I think by leaving him out of the Hall of Fame is a travesty. And now that he passed away, you know, God rest his soul, I think they're going to wind up putting him in sooner or later. But it's disappointing he didn't go in when he was alive.
Well,
and that's all I have to say about that.
Last thing.
I don't know much about Shoeless Joe Jackson. I don't know what his stats were. He had a great World Series that year. He was involved with the mob, blah, 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 and all that stuff. And if that was the case, if he was a great player with great stats, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. There's not a lot of great, there's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that aren't great people, that aren't great citizens of the United States or whatever the case might be. If you go look them up, there's a lot of ex-Yankees in the Hall of Fame right now that probably don't belong there if you want to take a look at their personal lives. But that's besides the point. So I think Pete Rose does belong in the Hall of Fame. I think they have to put him in. How do you explain to your son or your grandkid or your granddaughter that this gentleman here was the all-time hits leader in baseball with 4,300 hits, and he's not in the Hall of Fame?
I got one for you. How about this? Mm-hmm. As a compromise, you put up a plaque that says Pete Rose, the all-time Major League Baseball hitter, right, in hits, but you don't put his face. You don't put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. You put his accomplishment in, but not him.
To me, he's in the Hall of Fame. And I think regardless of what you want to do, how you want to plan it, as long as he's in there one way or the other, I'll be happy with that.
Okay. All right.
I think your way would be the asterisk way.
Okay.
That's fine with me.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, his accomplishments belong in there, although longevity is a big reason why he had so many hits, right? Right. But you got to be in shape to play that long. So, and you still got to be able to hit the ball.
He was in shape and more power to him, just like Tom Brady was in shape the past like four or five seasons when he won some Super Bowls with the Patriots and yep. with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's a credit to him. It's a credit to, his lifestyle. And he worked hard to, and on his diet. And he wasn't eating yodels and devil dogs. So like some people.
Is that a shot at me?
Bottom line.
Is that a shot at me?
Yes, it is. It always is a shot at you.
All right. One more thing on the Hall of Fame. Does Dave Kingman belong in the Hall of Fame?
Dave Kingman does not belong in the Hall of Fame at all. I think he was a career 226 hitter. A lot of home runs, a lot of strikeouts, way below average defensive player. I got other people that deserve to go in way before Dave Kingman can go in.
So I just looked it up, okay? He was a 236 career hitter, 442 home runs. That's an awful right. lot of home runs. And his WAR was 17.3. That's a pretty good WAR.
What was his WAR?
17.3.
Pretty good WAR, but I have a guy in mind right now. I don't know if you want to get into it, if that's another show, but the guy that belongs in the Hall of Fame is Jeff Kent. You look at his stats, Phil. 290 career batting average, 300 more hits than Mike Piazza, 300 more RBIs than Mike Piazza, 50 home runs less than Mike Piazza. He had a 55.5 WAR. If Mike Piazza is the best offensive hitting catcher that's in the Hall of Fame, or was the best offensive hitting catcher ever, and you need power numbers from the catchers, then Jeff Kent belongs because he's a second baseman. He's the best hitting second baseman of all time. And I think Mike Piazza and Jeff Kent defensively are on the same floor. They're on the same ground there. They're on even ground. They were pretty good defensive plays. Mike Piazza wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination defensively, and neither was Jeff Kent. So I think they were actually below average defensive plays. But okay. 100, he had 100 RBIs, Jeff Kent, eight seasons. It was major league career, 100 RBIs. He was an MVP. He was a four-time All-Star, a five-time All-Star. I think he was a four-time Silver Slugger Award. I mean, this guy belongs. He was never connected to the steroid era.
Joe,
his name doesn't come up once.
I'm going to tell you.
You don't know. Does he look like a big guy? He's not a big. He wasn't well-built. I mean, come on. You look at Mike Piazza now. The guy lost about 50 or 60 pounds when he played.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Kent, I saw Jeff Kent in an interview last week on a show from San Francisco, and he's the same type of guy, the same build.
Well, so I will tell you, I'm very impressed right now. You just spouted those stats off the top of your head. I pulled it up right as you were talking. I don't know if you did that on your end, but and you're pretty accurate with those numbers. I don't know about comparing him to Piazza, but as far
he's
as
he's got
Jeff
300
himself.
More hits than Piazza, and he has 300 more whatever. And look at his WAR. Piazza's WAR was a 59.5, I believe.
Okay.
Kent's was a 55.5.
Well,
and Piazza was a catcher. You're supposed to get power numbers from a catcher.
Well, let me ask you though. Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's possible because Jeff Kent's attitude?
Jeff Kent was a rotten teammate. Okay. Number one. Had a problem with Johnny Franco with the Mets. He didn't want to get dressed up and during that rookie year or whatever it was when he played for the Mets. And he didn't have a great career with the Mets, but he still batted a 265, a 267 if you look it up, and he still was good. The Mets didn't give him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the other players never gave a chance. Nolan Ryan, all these great pitchers through the years they let go. The Mets didn't give him a chance. They didn't have a spot for him. They were stuck with a different position. You're going to play second, third, first, whatever. You know, make up your mind, put him somewhere, let the guy hit, let the guy produce.
I will say for everybody listening that Joey was a big Jeff Kent fan going back to his days with the Mets. I will tell you that.
Yes, I certainly was. He was the reason why I used to watch the Mets during those dreadful years.
Well, I'm going to go on to, last time we talked about how I thought Major League Baseball was screwing the Mets and the Braves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great game yesterday for the Mets. I mean, they looked a little sluggish coming out of the box, and then all of a sudden, boom, the offense started going off. I got to tell you there, I'm on a Facebook group page with these Met fans. They are really mutts, okay? All they do is criticize. They're posting, get this guy out. This guy's not a good manager. Get this pitcher out, Severino, because he was struggling early
that
on.
That was probably in the first inning when he hit the two runs, but go ahead.
Right, he's struggling, right? Some of it was him, right? My friend was texting me, Sean Goggin. He's like, where's the splitter? You can't get by with just throwing a fastball. You have to have a splitter, all right? You have to have something else. And then he started throwing a splitter, and he started getting out of innings. His last inning was his best inning, okay? But his number of pitches were up there. Listen, it didn't really affect the Mets. The Mets out because of the hitting, right? It didn't really affect the Mets. And they were able to not use their bullpen last night, right? You got Budo pitched two innings, and then I think the Stanek pitched the last inning.
It was a gutty effort by Severino. I mean, he was in trouble early on in the game. He could have been knocked out in the third.
That team puts a lot of pressure on you. They hit they run fast.
They run. I mean, a base hit becomes a double. You know, gap has become triples. It's a very good Brewers team. But Severino did his job. He held his own. He had 100+ pitches before they took him out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mendoza did a great job managing that game yesterday. And the Mets, may I remind you, scored 8 runs. And my man, the first baseman, Pete Alonso, did absolutely nothing. And I'm happy that they walked him. I'm happy they chose to walk him on a 2-0 pitch. They walked Pete Alonso, and it enabled J.D. Martinez to come up and pinch hit.
Yeah.
And a 2-run single to right field, because if they would have pitched to Alonso, he would have made out. It would only have been a 6-4 game instead of an 8-4 game.
Well, you're speculating there, so I'm not going to
speculate anything. Right? I'm just giving you the facts. It's a terrible job.
Obviously, they were afraid of Pete Alonso more than they were afraid of J.D. Martinez.
Well, I mean, J.D. Martinez is in some kind of a slump. He's a 1-2 for his last 40. So, I mean, it probably was the right move, but if I know what I know about Pete Alonso, I'm throwing a Pete Alonso in that situation.
Okay. All right. Now the Atlanta Braves, on the other hand, they got shut out. The pitcher, Michael King, ex-Yankee, struck out 12 players. And you know, they had to go from Atlanta. They had to fly across the country to San Diego to play. Big difference. And they were sleepwalking. That's the bottom line. All right. It wasn't right. Major League Baseball did them dirty. And the Braves are partly responsible because they made that decision with Major League Baseball. And it couldn't happen to a better organization. You know, I don't really want the Braves to succeed. Nothing against the people of Atlanta, just that they always beat us. All right. I would have loved to win 90 games and they wouldn't have made the playoffs, but that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, I'm happy the Mets didn't have to go to San Diego. I don't want to go across country.
Right.
To play the 3 games. Plus, those trips in the West Coast for the Mets have been nightmares since 1972. So, I mean, I don't need to go to the West Coast. If we do happen to play him somewhere along the line and we do go there, that'll be a different story. But yep. Right now, the Mets are hot. They want to know. They have a big game today coming up. And I think they could put it away today. You know, they could put this away.
We got Sean Manaea, right? We got Sean Manaea going, so.
We got Manaea going today. The Mets have everything in the world going for them now. I mean, if Pete Alonso could start hitting, the Mets would win really easily.
Okay. So now the thing is, if they lose today, they got to go play tomorrow, right? The game is for 8:30, I believe, tomorrow. If all 4 teams go to game 3, if there's only 2 teams or 1 team, everything changes, right? It goes from 8 to 4 to 3 down to 7 if there's only 1. It's really weird the way they do it, but you know they gotta be able to sell the games on TV. So anyway, let's look forward to that. Last thing on baseball, the Mets, if they do win, they end up playing the Phillies. They don't reseed. So, and the reason they do that is they expect all 4 favorites to win, and the best team, the Dodgers, the best record, should not play another division winner. That's why they do that. Okay, let's talk about what you actually wanted to speak on. You're a Raider fan. I like the Jets and Giants. The Jets have Aaron Rodgers, used to throw to Devontae Adams. Something's going on in Vegas. What is going on?
All I have to say to Devontae Adams is good riddance. The Jets, the Steelers, anybody that wants to take this guy off our hands for a second or third round pick and possibly a fifth rounder, I'm trading right now. I went on a national radio show last year during the Raiders season. They were struggling early on.
I heard you.
It was the JT the Brick show out of Las Vegas. And I told JT that Devontae was a hindrance in the offense. And that's exactly what he is. He always wants the ball. He's a me player. He's got this spell on rookie quarterbacks and young quarterbacks that throw him the ball. Here's a guy that doesn't block downfield on any running plays or any wide receiver run around ends. He doesn't want to block. The Raiders last week without Devontae Adams in the lineup because he supposedly had a hamstring and he sat out. The Raiders opened up their offense. They had run around ends by the wide receivers. They had wide receivers blocking left and right on both sides of the field. They were picking up big yardage because the wide receivers were blocking. Devontae Adams will never throw you a block. And I'm happy he's gone. No doubt about it, a great receiver. Had his prime with Rodgers way back when. He's chasing his Super Bowl. The Raiders aren't Super Bowl material just yet. Maybe a year or two away from being a Super Bowl contender. So if he wants to go somewhere else, let him go. I think the best landing spot for Devontae Adams, if he wants to win a Super Bowl, be with the Kansas City Chiefs. If the Raiders are willing enough to trade him to the Chiefs, they're a division rival.
Yeah, so I actually heard.
I believe he has the best chance to win with the Chiefs. I don't believe the Jets are anything special. I love this Pittsburgh Steelers defense, and he could probably wake up the offense a little bit over there and help Justin Fields out. He'll have a chance to win with the Steelers a Super Bowl this season, but definitely not with the Jets. But he'll probably wind up with the Jets because Aaron Rodgers wants him, and Aaron Rodgers is calling all the shots there for the Jets. So.
Okay, so I'm a little torn on this, right? Devontae Adams was a great receiver, right? I don't know what he's got. He's 30-something years old now.
He's 31 years old, 32 years old
32
right
years old, right? So. Yep. They already have Garrett Wilson. Obviously, they got out Lazard, and they have Mike Williams, right, who's getting better, right, his knee. You put him there. What happens to Garrett Wilson? He's the number one receiver. What happens to him? You're going to have a disgruntled receiver. Supposedly, the Jets, I've heard this on FAN today or ESPN, whichever one it is. They're considering Hassan Reddick, which the Raiders can use a pass rusher.
Without a doubt.
Right?
They would love to have a son, yep.
And the host was saying you're causing a glut on the receivers by bringing them in. So you got to give the Raiders back a receiver. They said Mike Williams. And then the Raiders want a draft pick. But now you're not going to get a number two because of that. You might get a three or a four.
I'll take Hassan Reddick and a fifth rounder for the Raiders.
Yeah.
For Devontae Adams straight up. That's what I'll do right now.
So you don't want Mike Williams. You don't need another receiver.
We don't need receivers. We don't need Mike Williams. We don't want Wilson. We don't want anybody like that. We have enough receivers there. We have Trey Tucker, Jacoby Myers. We have the best tight end in the game and Brock Bowers. You have another tight end who was great last year, Michael Meyer. We have all these great receivers. Believe me, we don't need receivers.
Okay.
We're gonna open the offense up. We're gonna open the offense now without Devontae. If the Raiders had any type of good quarterback, they'd be a dangerous team right now, a real dangerous team, but they really don't right now. They have Gardner Minshew. He's a career backup guy. Right now he's a starter, but the Raiders are a year away or 2 years away from drafting somebody. So now's the time. If Devontae wants to go, let him go. The Jets want him. We'll take Reddick, and we'll take a fourth or a fifth-round draft pick. I would do it right now. I would do it tomorrow. I would do it in a second.
No, here's the problem, though. The Jets do need some salary to be able to bring in a pass rusher if they get rid of Hassan Reddick. I think this is a disservice right now to the fans not getting Reddick into camp. Their defense is not as good as last year. Unfortunately, I picked them on my fantasy team. And, I know they only allowed 10 points last week, right? They lost 10-9. Against the Denver Bronco team, but they didn't have anything. There was nothing going on. You always felt in the second half, especially, that the Broncos could move the ball. I just don't see the same thing. Don't forget, they lost a bunch of middle guys, right? That were John Franklin Myers, whatever his name is. They needed those guys, and Bryce Huff went to the Eagles. That's I heard he's not doing great there. Signed for a lot of money. Maybe the Jets would be better off instead of getting Devontae Adams, trading back for Huff, trading Hassan Reddick back to the Eagles, getting Bryce Huff back, or something else has got to be done. The Jets they lost the game they needed to win against the Broncos because now, this game was supposed to be a win in preseason against the Vikings. But hey, Sam Darnold's doing well.
Yeah, the good old friend Sam Darnold looks like Joe Namath or, Joe Montana right now. So
yeah.
He's having himself a great season. Do I think he'll come back down to earth? Yes, he will eventually. The Vikings always seem to fall back to the pack. I think they were 5-6-0 5 or 6 years ago, and they wound up, you know, finishing 11-5 when there were 16 games back then. So they'll come back to the pack. It's going to be a tough, tough game for the Jets. I like the Vikings this week, to be honest with you. I think the Jets go to 2-3, and that's when all their problems will start. They'll be, I know everybody wants Rob Saleh's job right now. All the Jets fans want him out. I don't think it happens midseason, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I think the Jets knew when they got Reddick that they had to sign him. He came from the Eagles. The Eagles couldn't sign him, so they wanted to trade him away. That became the Jets' problems, and I think you got to sign him right away. You can't let the guy sit out. You know what happens when players sit out, Phil? It happened to Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers.
Exactly.
I believe he came to the Jets. You know, you lose the edge. You lose the conditioning, and you're never the same. So I never seen a player come back and be better. And I've always seen players like that sit out a year or sit out a half a year, and they just don't have it, you know. So
yep.
The Jets better make a move now. The Raiders will sign him. They're going to save if the Raiders trade Devontae, they're going to save $16.5 million in cap space. That'll be enough to and they have $25 million right now in cap space. The Raiders do, so they could probably sign Reddick and give him whatever he wants. Sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal, and then we'll go from there. We'll see what happens.
All right, listen, let's see what happens, right? If you're the Jets, you're trying to win it this year, right? Because your quarterback is getting older. He took a beating this week, and we'll see what happens. The Giants, unfortunately, their number one draft pick has got a concussion already. Already he's got a concussion. That's not good for the young man's career.
No, it's not good at all. I mean, we see this happening every week in the NFL. He's great plays or any plays at all getting concussions. I mean, look at the Miami Dolphin quarterback Tua. You're putting your life and your career in jeopardy every time you get a concussion. You know, it's not now. It's going to be 5 or 10 years from now. What's going to happen to you 30 years from now in your brain? I mean, you know, you're going to develop this disease or that disease or, you know, whatever the case might be. And it's, you know, I think the NFL has to encourage these guys after 2 or 3 concussions to, like, maybe kind of step out of the game. I know it's their lives and their bodies and they do what they want. But, I mean, Tua is already a multimillionaire. He doesn't need the money. Never has to play another down again in the NFL. I'm sure he's got kids and a wife and he's got a family. I think that's, in the end, we have to look. That's what we have to look out for. That's what we have to worry about.
Well, all right. Are you watching the Mets tonight?
I most certainly am.
Yeah,
watching the Mets. Can't wait for the game to start.
I can watch them for a little bit, and then I got a softball game. So I got to leave to go play softball. And unfortunately, we'll see what happens. I don't really want to leave, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I'll send you updates, Phil, every couple of innings. Right. I'll give you an update with the Mets and the Brewers to see what's going on and let you know how they're doing or not.
All right, Joe. Listen, thanks for coming on. And, you know, I'm sure you'll be on again. We're getting a repertoire here. You know, it's kind of fun doing this with you. And maybe next time we get Paul to show up and then we can have the three of us on.
Well, if Paulie Bronski shows up, it would be an honor to be right next to him and talk sports. He knows all the games pretty well. He's a big Met fan, a big Dave Kingman fan, and that's great for him. But I love talking sports with Paulie. And I think he should come on. I'll try to encourage him to get back here. I know when he's on, it's always one of the most listened to shows in the podcast.
I got to hand it to him. He actually has the highest rated show that I've had.
Wow. Incredible.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, because people, they know some people and they like to listen to him.
You know, Paulie's been around the softball diamond for, decades. So he knows a lot of people and he's a great player.
Joe, he's still good. It's amazing.
And he's still very good. Though he's lost some power, he's starting to stroke like me a little bit up the middle, you know, going up the middle to the right side.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that at all. But, I mean, and that's the way it should be. You know, Paulie is a great hitter, played for some of those great teams in in the Robert Kelly League way back when. I always feared him when he got up. I never want to see him get up with men on base. He always came through and had the big arm in the outfield, could throw you out. He actually threw me out last year. He kind of threw behind me. I was testing his arm out. He threw behind me, actually, and he forced me out at second base on a line drive to left field or whatever it was against Legends.
Yep.
So that'll never happen again.
Now you're on the same team, so. Anyway, thanks again for coming on, Joe, and we'll be talking, all right?
All right, Philly, thanks for having me.
All right, take care.